It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, American Dad is not a good show. I would not recommend it. In general, I don't recommend most of Seth MacFarlane's stuff. But, hold on. I'll be right back. I mean, I'm still here, but you know. Sorry. I'm not feeling super good tonight, so I ordered some food for my wife, and I thought I just heard the door knock. So I was texting her. Anyway, not a good show. It's also basically the same as Family Guy, which, as we know, I got tired of and didn't like. But for some reason, I held on to American Dad longer. And I don't watch it now. I haven't watched it for years. But one that stuck with me is a bit where Patrick Stewart had a reoccurring character on the show. And at one point, I believe he was holding some people hostage. And he said, while we're waiting, think about this. Sylvester Stallone's first name is Sylvester. And I did think about it because that's weird. I mean, how many people have you ever known named Sylvester? And it's really weird that the only person you know other than a crazy animated cat is the action movie hero, Sylvester. It's weird. Recently, I realized there's a lot of things like this. The one that hit me just now, like recently, is Winnie the Pooh. They call him Pooh all the time. That's what all of his friends call him.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to get all childish. I assume that means something. I assume the fact that he's called the Pooh is like a thing that's not poop related, spelled different. Pooh Bear, who's something like, you know, and he lives at Pooh Corner and things like that. His first name that no one ever talks about is Winnie. Mm-hmm. What's that? Is that short for Winifred? Is his name Winifred Pooh? Sorry, Winifred the Pooh. Why does no one ever call him Winnie? You ever see Lady Hawk?
Mm-hmm.
The Rutger Hauer's character, the main hero guy, is named Etienne of Navarre. Everyone calls him Navarre, which nowadays people do that where they call people by their last name, but it's literally Etienne from Navarre. It's weird to just call them the hometown, but I can let that pass. However, the absolute love of his life, who went through hell and a horrible supernatural curse to be with him, only ever calls him Navarre, including to his face. That's weird, right?
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
Like, no one, she never, yeah, that's weird. I noticed, I've seen that movie 1,000 times. I just noticed that the last time. Not feeling really good, people. So this is the best that my brain can come up with. So you'll have to deal. Welcome. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that was definitively nowhere near Azure Talon or any of his family's vehicles in the near future. And on an unrelated note, got a new phone charger. I'm Tony.
Did you forget there for a second? I'm William, and this is episode 518. What's the matter? How come you're not feeling very good?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't get stabbed or nothing. Like,
I mean, are you ill or?
I don't know. Yesterday, I felt really weird and bad. And in particular, I was cold and I couldn't stop being cold.
Mm.
It was really bad, but I was also pretty exhausted and had a lot of muscle ache and stuff. And then when I was going to bed, I realized I had accidentally taken one of my blood pressure medications twice in the same day.
Hmm.
So I thought that might be related. Unfortunately, I didn't realize it until I took it yet another time, like when I was supposed to take it again. So it didn't fix the problem. But I hoped maybe that was going on. And then today I got up and I went to do my boxing and just about finished the first, like sort of the warm-up routine, and started hacking, coughing, and thought I was going to throw up. And ever since then I have an inhaler for that kind of stuff. And I just kind of hurt all over. I've had a headache that comes and goes, and I'm just exhausted. And I'm not even willing to say I'm sick, because the problem is right now, like I'm mentally spiraling because winter and COVID are just getting to me. So I don't know how much of this is psychic, you know, the thing. But I feel like shit. I've slept a whole bunch of today, and eating lunch turned out to not be a great thing. So, but yeah, it hasn't been fun. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. People, you know who you are, and if you don't know, then it's you. Write into that email address, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. Little notes, questions, topics, was comments. I knew that was the fourth one. You know, whatever. The hat, all on its own, magically, or possibly scientifically, because as Arthur C. Clarke said, sufficiently advanced science is indistinguishable from magic, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. It's tired servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Are you going to be okay? Seriously, I mean, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, no, I'm good. No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm not running a fever or nothing. I don't think I got the Rona. But also, if I'm not good, what's going to change?
Well, I just wanted to know.
I mean, I'm still in my house. I'm not, you know.
Right.
No. I'm just very tired. I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm drinking some fresh brewed iced tea.
Mm.
How fresh, you ask? Well, hold on. I'll answer in a second.
What are you doing?
That's fresh. Got to take the tea bag out, but you got to be careful. It's going to rip. I've been doing this for months now. There's an art.
Mm.
This is what I do. Every week, I get 2 Gatorade Zeros, and I drink them, and they are tasty. And then I rinse out the bottles, and I put a tea bag in, an iced tea bag, which is bigger as a decaf one. Put it in, fill it with hot water, stick it in the fridge, and then I have iced tea whenever I want.
I think you've talked about that before. But this is the first time I've seen you take the bag out.
Usually I take the bag out in the kitchen. I put it in the compost bin. but not today. So how's your week?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. We ended the game, which is
birthday.
Yeah, we ended the game on Sunday, which is kind of sad to see it go, but it was very fun. Very fun game. Very fun.
Did you win? Session.
Did I win? I mean, the direction my character went was unexpected, but that was cool in a way, I guess. I guess it was cool, but it was. I talked about this last time. It was unexpected in a way that for me seems to be very expected. Like, you know, I often like my characters to have some kind of a, you know, riding off into the sunset kind of arc. And I didn't think that would happen to this character. I didn't really want it to happen to this character, but then it kind of did, sort of organically, sort of, you know. I don't feel like it was all my choice. I mean, I could have done something different, obviously, but it just felt like the right thing to do. Whereas usually it's kind of where I'm steering the character. This time I felt like the character was steering me, but it went to the same place.
It's a little different though, because isn't this in space?
Yeah. Space.
So the sunset is a really nebulous term.
Anyway, so that was one thing that happened. Then, it was my birthday. So that was, you know, we didn't get to go home and see the family or anything, because, you know, as I often have pointed out, my brother's birthday is just 2 days before mine. I was born a year and 2 days after him. We have the same Chinese zodiac sign because I was born just soon enough that I was born in the same zodiac years as him, which is, it's kind of weird, because, you know, usually people born in different years have different Chinese zodiac signs.
Yeah.
Not this,
but ends. You just hopped. Although, and now, unfortunately, I have to stop you because I just remembered something that pissed me off.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to tell a story about it. We'll get back though. But stay, remember where you are. All right. There's a commercial on YouTube, and it's one of those you can skip after 5 seconds. But I'm watching YouTube one day, and there's a guy, I'm going to say Hispanic, Latino looking guy, in his front yard doing some yard work, and his son is there, I think playing or whatever. And their neighbor comes by, who's this Asian man, and he's bringing them a basket of oranges. And he says, "Happy Lunar New Year." And actually, I think the Hispanic guy says, "Happy Lunar New Year." And the Asian guy says, however you say that in Chinese, I don't remember what the term is, but there's a term. And it's very nice. And, you know, he's like, "Oh, thank you. You shouldn't have blah, blah, blah." And the kids just watch him. And we're clearly like paying attention from the kids' perspective. And it was very sort of sweet. And I was like, I got nowhere to be. Let's see where this commercial is headed. So then the kid is walking down the street in front of the Asian neighbor's house. And the Asian neighbor is having a lot of Asian friends coming over. And they're going inside and they're all greeting each other and stuff. And he sees the kid on the street. And he says, "We're having a party. You're welcome to join us." And so the very nervous Hispanic kid goes inside. And then we get this big montage of the big family dinner, and all the people are there, and all the different foods are coming out. And like the Asian man gives the kid a red envelope with money, because that's what you do for Lunar New Year. It's lucky money and all this. And the kid's just wide-eyed, fascinated. And it's really heartwarming. And like, you see the kid, like he's trying new foods he's never tried before. And then sitting next to him is a younger girl, Asian girl, who is teaching him how to say Happy Lunar New Year in Chinese, I think. And so he's doing that, and it's very sweet. And I'm like, what are they selling? What is this? I'm really curious. And then the Asian man is watching the kid, and he's like, said, "Ah, see, he's having a good time." You know how old people look at kids and like, "Oh yeah." And the kid's just beaming and all that. Cut to the Asian man, now all gray haired and everything, is sitting in his house, and the doorbell rings, and he goes and he looks outside, and the now grown up young Latino boy is standing there and waves and says whatever the thing is in Chinese that means Happy Lunar New Year. And he has left on the doorstep a small box of Panda Express. And then he goes home to his family with his children, and they have a big meal of Panda Express and teach their children all about Lunar New Year. I was super mad. And I'm especially mad because the founder of Panda Express is not Chinese. He's Korean, I believe. And I also, like, looking back, suddenly realized two major things. One, when the kid is tasting things, he's tasting a spring roll that looks exactly like Panda Express spring rolls. And this is back in the homemade one. And while all the stuff is happening, at one point, the, I'm going to assume, wife of the Asian man brings out a new dish and sets it down. And she says, orange chicken. Which, as we all know, is a specialty of Panda Express. And I was, oh, I was just so mad. They got me. They fooled me. All right. So, sorry. How was your week? Back to you, your Mardi Gras birthday. Just going wild. Showing your boobs for beads and binging Mandalorian.
I think I saw a video of Chinese people eating Panda Express. And I think several of them liked the orange chicken and the lo mein, but the spring rolls they didn't like so much.
The lo mein I hate, which is why for a long time I really hate it. I eat Panda Express. I like Panda Express. It's I also like Taco Bell. I'm not about to say it's Mexican food in the same way I'm not about to say this is Chinese food. It's like, if you're lucky, you call it Chinese American food, and it's pretty low on the level of Chinese American food as well.
What I was saying, the reason I was talking about my brother and my birthdays being close together like I always do is because it makes it very convenient, you know, to go home and celebrate both of our birthdays at, you know, the same time. It's just a, you know, we get together for all the individual birthdays, but when we get together for my birthday, quote unquote, it's also Scott's birthday. That's just the way it's always been.
Double birthdays.
And so when we don't get together, which actually happens, you know, fairly often because the weather isn't always cooperative in February. It's kind of a bummer. And of course, this year we're not getting together, the weather wasn't great this year either, but, you know, the pandemic is the big
thing. COVID was even worse.
Yeah. So, but
that is a bummer.
It was, you know, it was still a good day. We did actually watch The Mandalorian, and I have to say that it's easily one of my favorite television shows of all time.
I'm assuming you've already gone through both seasons.
Yes. I loved it.
I am unsurprised.
I mean, it was like, you know, because I think I've said that I already, because of Clone Wars, I never really cared about Boba Fett or Jango Fett, and I still don't. But Clone Wars introduced a lot of things about Mandalorians that I thought was interesting. And some of that came from now non-canon books that I didn't happen to read any of those. But the whole thing that writers after George Lucas did with The Mandalorians was real very fascinating to me. So when I first heard about The Mandalorian, I was interested in it, as I've said. And it was everything I hoped it would be. It was, and it, you know, plus it had other things that I like, you know, practical puppeteering in it, you know, which is Baby awesome.
Baby Yoda!
So, I mean, it was...
Baby Yoda, I mean, the child killer.
I'm not saying I would, you know, if I was talking sort of objectively about quality television, that it would be up there with like Black Sails or any of that very high quality TV. But for me personally, it just checked all the boxes. It was so
perfect.
And
it's just the competent live action Star Wars TV show has never happened before. And so it's just like such a, it's such a high mark within that realm.
I guess so. But I mean, I loved it.
No, because I also loved it. I mean, I liked the second season less, but I still liked it, and I still plan to watch the next season.
I loved every single episode. I just loved watching it. It was great. So that was fun. And let's see what else. Oh, and Perseverance landed on Mars today. And it did. And it, you know, I was watching it live. I mean, of course, it wasn't live. It was like 11 minutes after it landed. We were all watching to see if it made it, you know.
Yeah.
But it was very kind of nerve-wracking, you know, because you wanted it to be successful. And I watched the launch when it left several months ago, and it was very exciting for them to get the confirmation that it landed safely, for them to get the first photograph from the lander. So that was pretty awesome. You know, it's just nice to see something good like that happen. And also NASA's coverage, and this is true for everything I've watched on NASA for the last few years, you know, they'll talk to this or that person that works at NASA, usually someone who's like a manager of some kind. And, you know, even chance that whoever it's going to be is a woman, you know, a significantly good chance it's going to be a person of color. I mean, NASA has got to be one of the most diverse places there is. I mean, I don't know if they had some kind of program for that, or if they're just, since they're scientists, they're not stupid about being discriminatory against. I mean, very, you know, that it's a true meritocracy and they're just hiring the best people. And of course, some of the best people, you know, half of the best people are going to be women, and a good portion of the good best people are going to be Black or whatever. And it's just nice to watch something like this and see very smart, competent people who aren't just all white guys. I mean, I don't, maybe some people think that's weird of me to think that, but you know, I just think that's great. I think it really
is. It's a trick. They're all actors.
Well, NASA, then they're good.
One person, and he's the whitest, oldest man you've ever heard of.
Then they're good actors.
So straight. I mean,
even if
so
someone,
straight.
Even if someone told me, well, yeah, you know, they achieved that through some kind of quota system, blah, blah, blah. Even if someone told me that, the fact of the matter is every single one of these people is clearly competent. Like you could never argue that they don't deserve whatever position they have.
Yeah, if they achieved it through a quota system, that's awesome.
Yeah, apparently, who cares?
That's a really good one.
I mean, look at them.
I am confident that is not the case.
They're on camera. They're talking. First of all, very smart people are terrible on camera, and all of these people are great on camera. And they're talking.
Therefore, they're not very smart.
What I'm saying is they clearly know their stuff. They're very good at talking about it. It's like, these are all competent people. I don't even care if you tell me that there was some, you know, weird thing that you don't approve of that got them there. They clearly know what they're doing. They clearly deserve to be there. And NASA programming is always fantastic. And it just, to me, it's already a wonderful thing just to watch all these people come together and accomplish these great things. But then to see such a diverse, and I'm quite confident, a very organically diverse group of people working together on this stuff, to me, it's so encouraging with, you know, in a world that's so full of, you know, bad news and bad actors and people, you know, I just needed some good news today, and to get it, not just in terms of the success of the program, but for the presentation to be so good and so diverse and so uplifting. It was just nice to get something like that today.
Yeah. If you want to be the one to break it to William that Mars isn't real, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. I'm not doing it. Look at his little face. I couldn't. Come on.
What about
his
your
little
week?
Face?
What about your week?
Well, your week's not done. Somebody's been playing a lot of a new video game.
Well, but,
or at least leaving it on the title screen a whole bunch so it shows up.
No, Abby has been playing Control, but I can't really watch her play it because it's kind of makes me feel sick when she plays. It's all over the place.
I could get that. It is incredibly frenetic and crazy.
So I can't tell you a lot about it, but, oh, except that she likes it. She likes it all right, but I don't I don't have anything to say about it. No, but she does like it though. So that was a good suggestion. So good job.
I know my business. My week's been surviving. So people know there's been major cold and ice damage and power outages in Texas.
Yeah, I have a friend down there who's been talking to me about that.
Yeah. What has not been in the news so much, and I don't know why, except that maybe Texas is particularly interesting in that it normally doesn't get cold weather issues.
Right.
This has also been happening other places. Yeah. In particular, the Northwest got really bad ice storms. And my sister, who lives in our childhood home, lost power.
Oh.
And then in the middle of the night, her backyard, which is full of giant evergreen trees that were big when I still lived there, the largest one fell on the house.
Oh, no.
And the roof took it, which is good, because if the roof, if it had gone through the roof, it had hit them. It was over their bedroom.
Oh, no.
So that was really crazy. And the heat's electric and all that, so they had some issues with that. But luckily, things have been moving very quickly. The neighborhood has been really coming together and helping people out who like had issues and stuff. The insurance company was really on the spot. Like by the next morning, the tree was off the house.
Good.
And people are out there and they've got their power back and everything. And it's sort of a silver lining. She's like, in the next couple of years, we were going to need to replace the roof and also replace the insulation in the attic and also replace the gutters and also do something about that oak tree in the backyard. And now insurance is paying for all of that. So there is an upside, but that was a little freaky for them. And it screwed up. So the way it works in Oregon is there's what is called the Cascade Range of Mountains. And unless you have been to the Rockies or further west, you don't know what I mean by mountains. These are no little Appalachian things. These are real mountains. And then further west, there's what's called the Coastal Range of Mountains. And in between is what's called the Willamette Valley, and it's where most of the urban centers are. Like Portland is at the top and then Salem and then Eugene, it's all through there. And then once you go over the coastal range, then there's the beach, which is where my mother currently lives. Well, something happened in the coastal range. So all the phone lines were out. So my mom was fine. She had power, everything else. Her phone was not working. Hmm. My sister, who is a Luddite, has a landline powered by an old timey phone that isn't like electronic or whatever, so she had one working phone still but no power, so she couldn't email or anything like that, and she doesn't have a smartphone, so she couldn't do that. So it became this saga where I and also my niece, who is at college, were communicating for them, so I could email my mother and my mother could email me and tell me things, and I could call my sister and tell her, and then my sister could tell me and I could email my mom back and let her know. So we did that for a day or two. But luckily we live in a world now where that's doable. So that all got settled. So things are better over there now. We are still watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and I feel like I should bring this up because this time it came to bite me in the ass a little bit. When I say we are watching a show and we are enjoying it, or even that we are not enjoying it, we may not have gotten very far when I give this opinion.
Okay.
I say this because a listener heard about the show on the podcast, started watching it, loved it, and was texting me and was like, we love the show. And then she was like, I couldn't believe when so-and-so did such and such. And I'm like, I don't even know who so-and-so is. And such and such is kind of a big spoiler. So I may not be as far as you are. So in future, I just want listeners to know. Sometimes I say, oh, we're really loving it. We're like two episodes in or something. I will tell you right now, for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, we have 2 more episodes in season 1, and we still like it very, very much. It is very good. I highly recommend it. I finished the original Final Fantasy VII, which was good because of the time in my life when that game came out and stuff. I am pleased that I have finally beaten it and can like have shared that experience with the other people who have, but you know, whatever. It only took about 40 hours, which is surprisingly little for me for that kind of game. I finished up the first set of the 2 sets of DLC in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Nobody warned me that that particular set was incredibly dark and depressing, but I got through it, and the second part's going to be all weird and magical, so that should be fun. But I finally needed to start something new. So a couple days ago, I started The Witcher 3, which, when you talk to people, they have 2 things to say about it. It's apparently incredible. It's also really freaking huge, and you will dedicate months of your life to it. So I finally started. And it's kind of intimidating so far. I've got it set on easy because it's me. But there might be such a thing as being too open of a world. Because I'm like, okay, well, I can just sort of follow the main quest until I know, and I get to this part, and it's now like, go do this. And it says, recommended level is level 3. I'm like, well, I'm on level 1. Let's sort of wander around, find some stuff. It was hard to find some stuff and to know whether or not I was supposed to find that stuff or whether it was too difficult. And then I found some stuff and I did some quests and I hunted some things, and I'm still not even level 2 yet. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm just wandering around some more and I'm exploring, which is fun, but I'm like, what if I explore too far? And I explore into some places where I'm like, I should not be here. And I almost die, even though I have it set on easy. And I finally hit level 2. And so then I was like, oh, I could do this other one. So like, but it's, I'm starting to get a handle on it sort of, but it's, they really just sort of throw you in. And there are tutorials and I did all of them. They are very wordy and involved because the stuff is very involved. Combat has a lot of different things you can do. Crafting is enormous. Alchemy is a huge, and they're all just very detailed and involved. So it's a lot to take on at once, but I'm getting into it. I'm getting into it. Also, I watched 2 movies of note. I actually watched a lot of movies. I rewatched some old movies that I thought I liked, and I did in some cases, and others I didn't. But 2 ones I watched with the wife that were like real movies that I feel are worth mentioning. 1 on Netflix, Space Sweepers. Have you watched Space Sweepers?
I've seen it and I was a little interested maybe checking it out, but
I recommend it. I did recommend it to somebody and somebody stopped watching it midway through because it was, quote, too stupid. And I didn't even know what to say because I know the kind of things they watch. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I will say this. It's a space action movie. So it is exactly as dumb as every space action movie. Like, so, I mean, if that's a level you can't handle, don't watch it. But I don't think it's particularly more dumb than your average space action movie. It's very good looking. There's some really cool action out in space. It's funny in a lot of places. It's a Korean film. But I think it had a lot of other involvement. I think other countries were involved. It was a fairly international film. What I really like about it is it's set in the future and it's in orbit around Earth. And everybody has translators built into them. And what that means practically for the movie viewer is everybody speaks their native tongue. And there's just captions. And it's really kind of cool. Because people are having conversations in completely different languages. And there are definite parts that are in English. A lot of the stuff with the main characters are in Korean because that particular ship's crew are Korean. But like there's a guy who gets involved and tells a bunch of exposition in what I'm gonna guess is some sort of French-English
patois or Creole that I'm not familiar with, because he would say a lot of things that were English words, but then a lot of things that weren't. It was very interesting. And there's people speaking in German. There's some scenes where you get like a different language from each person. And that aspect is really fun and you don't see it a lot. But yeah, it's just goofy sci-fi. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And it's got a cute little kid in it that does a lot of cute little kid stuff. It has a cool robot in it that does silly robot stuff. So yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's on Netflix. Check it out. It is longish. It's like just over 2 hours, I think. So you got to prepare for that. But and then last night, we wanted to watch a movie and we couldn't really find one. Then we stumbled across one we'd been curious about before from 2019 called The Good Liar.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
All right. Then I'm going to be very curious as to your take on it. For those of you who have not seen this, it is, it's a suspense movie with a lot of twists and turns and stuff, so I don't want to give anything away, but in keeping with what's told essentially in the preview, the trailer for it, an old widowed lady and an old widowed man meet via electronic dating service and hit it off, but it turns out that the man might just be trying to scam her for her money and has secrets and things, and she's got a grandson who's really suspicious and stuff. And hijinks ensue. But what makes it interesting, or what makes it something you'd want to really check out, is the man and woman in question are Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. Reverse. The Ian McKellen plays the man. Helen Mirren plays the woman. And to a degree, just by that, you're like, why would I not watch this? And so we did watch this. And it was an okay con movie. It was really elevated by the two lead actors and the guy who plays the grandson, who's an actor whose name I don't know, but I know him from a lot of things and I like him too. It would have been not that fun if they weren't playing the parts, but it was pretty good for them until, I don't know, the last 20 minutes or so, the point at which we finally get the reveal of what's going on. And then it turns really horrible and frankly kind of dumb and retroactively fucks up a lot of things that happened earlier and made Trish turn to me as soon as the credits happened and apologize for having me watch it. Like, up until that point, I would have been like, it's not a great con movie. It's not a great suspense movie. There are certain things you can see coming. But it's Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. It's totally worth it just to watch them interact and stuff. And then, yeah, you got to the end and I'm like, no, it's really traumatizing. It's really dumb. And a lot of things don't make sense. And it makes a lot of things earlier not make sense. And yeah, so very unhappy with that. How is your feeling?
Pretty much the same. Yeah.
And I don't.
Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen were both great in it. I mean, like you said, up to a point when it's like, it seemed like there was this thing at the end that, like, they had to, because up to that point, it was so by the numbers and nothing special. And the only reason you would watch it was for those two. So it felt like whoever the writer, the director thought, we need to do something really big here. So they kind of did, but like you said, it didn't make a lot of sense.
It's based off of a novel, but novel is not popular enough to have its own Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what liberties they may or may not have taken.
I see.
And in some ways, I could see this working more as a novel. I still don't think it's a novel I would want to read, but I could see it happening. But yeah, and it just, I mean, there is some very disturbing aspects to the ending that put me right off. But outside of that, there's a lot of exposition in the ending that, like, just makes the rest of the plot worse. There's a lot of, but then why did they, or why would you even do this? And what the hell? And also, well, given that information, I thought you were this kind of person, but instead you're this kind of person. And I'm not happy with that. And just all sorts of weird shit there. And yeah, and a lot of arbitrary, like, hey, this is disturbing. Let's throw this in, even though there's no reason to. And, you know, I'm trying to be like, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen are both quite old now, and I assume quite comfortable financially, and they don't need to work anymore at all. And I'll bet you it was a real fun movie to make. Like, I'll bet it was really fun to play. So bless them for that. But I'm so disappointed. I'm like, what is no? So yeah. And up to about 20 minutes before the end, I was going to recommend it to my mom. My mom would hate this movie. Worse than me, probably. I don't know. I was pretty unhappy. So, yeah, so don't watch that one. Watch Space Sweepers instead. It's dumb, but you know that right from the jump. It's fine. And it's not particularly traumatizing. That one, I'm pretty sure The Power of Love wins that one. I don't know. It's one of those movies. Like, I'm pretty sure The Power of Love fixed everything at the end. So watch that instead. We are still very much enjoying Mr. Mayor, the new Ted Danson, Holly Hunter sitcom from NBC. If you have Hulu, you can watch it. I think it might also be on Peacock. So, which is free, so might be worth checking that. We find it very entertaining. It has very strong roots in 30 Rock. So if you had a strong opinion about 30 Rock, you will probably have similar opinions about this. I know some people found that show polarizing. So, but we really liked it, and we really like this. I also watched the pilot for the new Kenan Thompson TV show, and it was fun. I mean, if they told me it got canceled after the first episode, I wouldn't cry. But since it didn't get canceled after the first episode, I'll probably watch the next one. Oh, and I watched the new animated Fox TV show, The Great North. There have been two episodes. I haven't decided yet. It's Nick Offerman playing single dad in Alaska with four children, and he just is Nick Offermaning it, like, really strongly. And it's fun. There's an interesting cast. I do like that the precocious 10-year-old who is constantly wearing a, like, bear suit onesie is being voiced by Aparna Nancherla, who's a comedian that I really love. So that's fun. But Will Forte's in there, and Jenny Slate's in there, and Megan Mullally's in there, of course. So that's the thing.
You know, we also watched the Netflix has a limited series right now about the Cecil Hotel in LA and the young woman that disappeared there, you know, a few years ago.
I don't know that I know this.
Do you remember that viral video with a young woman was in an elevator and people couldn't understand what she was doing, and she was missing, and this was all the footage they could find of her? You never heard about any of this?
I mean, it's remarkably similar to a shitty horror movie plot I recently watched. But I'm assuming it's not that.
No. Anyway, this woman had disappeared. And Elisa Lam was her name. And she, the last footage they had of her alive was the very day or evening that she disappeared. And she'd gone into an elevator and she was behaving very strangely. I mean, I can't even really describe it. You would have to look. The video went viral. It was kind of a big deal at the time. I'm a little surprised you've never, or maybe if you were to look it up, you'd recognize it. I don't know. They finally found her. This was at the Cecil Motel. Are you familiar with the Cecil Motel in Los Angeles?
I am not at all, though.
Well, the Cecil Motel in Los Angeles is in a kind of a depressed section of Los Angeles that's adjacent to, or maybe kind of right on the edge of Skid Row.
Okay.
It has a very long and disturbing history, like the serial killer who was called the Night Stalker stayed there for a little while he was doing his thing. There have been a lot of suicides and murders there and stuff. It's a big place for paranormal researchers to go.
I'm going to pause you just for a second and say, aren't you going to say hi to Gus?
Oh, hey, Gus. He doesn't care. This hotel sort of inspired the American Horror Story to make American Horror Story Hotel or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, this happened in 2013, I want to say, where this gal disappeared. The video went viral and it was nobody knew where she went, and it was kind of creepy and spooky, really. I mean, when I saw the video, I was baffled by it, and I was very concerned about this woman because her behavior was so odd. They finally found her after people complained about their water pressure being bad and the water tasting bad in their rooms. They found her in one of the water tanks up on the roof. And of course, there was a lot of speculation as to what happened, how she got in there, you know, a lot of suspicion that there was foul play and so on. So this thing on Netflix goes over all of this stuff. It even talks a little bit about the history of the hotel. It talks about her and her life, and I thought they were very respectful of her, actually, as a, you know, a lot of times in these things, the victim is no more than just, you know, a body with evidence.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like that at all. It was very respectful of her, I thought. I thought they reviewed the case really well. One of the producers on this is Ron Howard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was so well made. I mean, it's not going to be for everybody because a lot of people, you know, aren't. I mean, obviously, it's a very depressing subject, and some people aren't going to really respond.
Well, yeah, that. And I'm very much not into true crime, as we all know, but some of our listeners are. Do you remember what it's called? That would help, because I think some of our listeners would like to.
The title is Crime Scene, like with a subtitle. Like Crime Scene is like a, I don't know. I've never seen any other versions of Crime Scene.
Maybe this is the first one. Yeah.
It's possible, but it's on Netflix, and I'm sure it's like one of the top viewed things right now. And it was extremely well made, I thought. I thought it was very, very good. I also wanted to say that one of the things I liked about The Mandalorian was it was kind of good to, you know, see a character around my age who I could relate to. Speaking, of course, of Baby Yoda.
Yes, yes.
totally relate to Baby Yoda.
I was working it out, and Baby Yoda and Anakin in the Wikipedia timeline are just about the same age.
Oh.
Which is weird. also, I want to adjust what I said earlier. I don't know if I'm just getting into it more or if it's because he's done some really cool stuff just in the real world lately, but I'm starting to get into Pedro Pascal. Like, I'm starting to find him attractive. I don't know what changed, but even with the mustache, something's happening. Getting into it.
All right.
We'll see. He's definitely a cool guy. He's been doing some cool stuff, but have you seen WandaVision yet?
I don't know if we will watch that. I
cannot recommend it more highly.
Okay.
It is so original. It is, you have not seen anything like it before. Like it hasn't happened. And it's a limited series. But I would recommend you jump on it as quick as you can because the internet really likes to talk about it. So it gets spoiled real fast. But I would very seriously recommend that.
Okay.
Are the Muppets on there yet? I haven't checked lately. I know they're coming this month.
I don't know. I haven't seen them, and we've looked sort of, but it's like it doesn't seem like they would be hard to find if they were there. So we,
right. So. All right, we should draw a thing. crime scene. The Cecil B. DeHotel. No, wait, I'm mixing two things up. These dramatic pauses must be so annoying for people just listening to the audio.
Possibly.
Ooh. Dave of Id, renowned game master and friend of the show, asks, using the tree metaphor, what tree would you use to describe the podcast? I hate this. I brought this on myself. I'm pretty sure I've made that joke before. But if you're a tree, what tree would you be? Because that's like a thing. I feel like it's one of the worst of those. Like if you were an animal one, like that, I get tree. Because here's the deal. How many tree types do you know that are distinctive in a way that would like denote a type of character? Not a ton, but also a really small number of the actual number of trees out there. So like there are some trees that are known for being particularly strong. There are some trees that are known for being particularly flexible. There are some trees that have a unique weird feature about, like a weeping willow, you know, you could tie into something. And then that's it. Outside of that, you'd be like, oh, I'm just a tree. I'm a pine tree. What does that say about me? Absolutely nothing. Like, what do you do with that? What kind of tree is this podcast? See, it's tough with trees. Is there a really invasive species of tree that just won't die?
Honeysuckle's pretty invasive. A lot of people wouldn't consider it much of even a tree, but I mean, when you're in the woods and you see it, it looks like a skinny tree, and it gets everywhere, and it is very invasive. I mean, it makes it hard to like walk through wooded areas when there's too much honeysuckle.
This could be it then. We might be the honeysuckle tree, because otherwise I got to go to like where the kudzu of trees, where the Virginia creeper.
I was going to say a dead tree.
We're not. No, because we won't die. We're still going. It won't stop. If we're a dead tree, we're one of those dead trees that like they do an entire PBS special on like the ecosystem inside of it. Like there's mushrooms and bugs and things that glow and shit like that, because we will not die.
When I was growing up, there was an orchard behind our house, an apple orchard, and they were mostly all dead apple trees. And it was just it was the quintessential creepy. I mean, if you hired someone in a horror movie to make a creepy looking forest of any type, whatever the trees you want them to put in there, they wouldn't make anything creepier than our old dead apple orchard with the creepy gnarled trees, lots of them going for just a little distance past our house. Yeah. It was really something else.
This is an interesting point you bring up, though. I think when it comes to late at night, no leaves on it, creepy trees, apple trees win. And I don't know why, because under all other circumstances, apple trees look normal and pretty and stuff. But I think they are, yeah, but I think they are really, they're just the right amount of gnarled and like dark and stuff so that you're freaked out, but not so gnarled that you're like, what is this, an art installation? Like not one of the weird windswept desert ones or whatever.
It might matter what variety of apple you're talking about, but whatever was growing behind our house, oh man. And like you said, if the leaves were on them, first of all, when the blossoms are on them, they're gorgeous. They smell beautiful. When the leaves are on them and the apples are on them, they're beautiful. But as soon as those leaves are gone or they're dead, they're just really creepy looking. At least
I am disappointed though, because when you started the story, I was hoping we had finally hit the point where you'd become so senile that you were going to tell the story of the Hawkeye cultivar of apples, but now you think it's something that happened in your childhood. I was hoping we'd finally hit that point, because it started at, you're like, there used to be all these trees, and I was like, it's gonna tell about this one that grew up in between the rows and it wouldn't go away.
No,
I was hoping you'd finally lost it, but no. Jesse, what's his last name?
Hyatt.
Jesse Hyatt, the hotel magnate and apple farmer.
Locust trees have thorns all over them, sometimes really big ones. I mean, they'll puncture a tractor tire.
What are you trying to say about our podcast, fucko?
That we can puncture tractor tires. I don't know. Let's see what else. Hedge apple trees, maybe, because
the hedge apple tree.
It makes those green, weird looking, almost brain looking things. You've probably seen them, because some people think that you can put them in your house and they'll scare away spiders or whatever. Have you ever seen those green hedge apples? Do you know what I'm talking about at all?
I super don't.
Maybe we're a hedge apple tree because the fruit of our labors are so weird and grotesque.
And I've never heard of us.
Oh, what else
could be that?
What else could we be?
Crab apple. I mean, it's a little on the nose, but we could be a crab apple tree.
Honeysuckle. That's a good one for like being invasive and annoying.
I mean, I just, yeah, I don't. Here's the problem. If it had just said, what kind of podcast are you? I don't know that I could answer it either. So it doesn't help to have the added effort of trying to translate that to tree. Like, I don't know what that means.
Since our quality, though bad, is very consistent, we could be an evergreen, maybe like the kind of evergreen that is completely useless. Like, you'd never build anything out of it because the wood is too soft. It doesn't look very nice, so you'd never chop it down and put it in your house.
What's the crappiest evergreen? Yeah,
the crappiest evergreen, whatever that is, that's probably.
I mean, I'd say that's the title of the episode, but I think that might have to be the new title of the podcast. Welcome to the crappiest evergreen podcast.
Consistent, but nobody wants it.
Consistent, but terrible.
Probably the crappiest evergreen, whatever that is.
Whatever that is. Somebody, hey, if you know what the crappiest evergreen is, tell us about it in the blog, themagicstalkinghat.com. Also, if you want to torture us with other random metaphors by which we define this podcast, write into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And at some point, we're going to draw it out and we're going to have to go through this again and we will hate you for it. But we won't break into your car and steal your phone charger.
Someone broke into your car and stole your phone charger?
No. Based on what I glanced at on Facebook, somebody broke into Azure Talon's car and stole, among other things, a phone charger.
Well, that's too bad.
It is, but I thought it would make a nice joke when I heavily implied that it was us, but it wasn't really. But now that we're talking about it seriously, it's just sad. So,
yeah.
Sorry, right. Azure Talon. I hope the you catch the bastards and lock them in your garage and enact your own slow and creative justice.
What kind of pine tree fell on your sister's house?
It's an oak tree.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was an oak tree. I thought. Did you say there were pine trees behind that house?
I said there were a bunch of evergreens.
Oh, okay. All right. I got confused.
Out there, it's a lot more fir trees and stuff, but that one was an oak tree. If it's the one I'm thinking of, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I think I know there's a lot of trees out there, but I know one specifically that is very large that is an oak that I made a lot of forts and lean tos on and stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. It has a big tree.
Yeah.
Like I would say it is definitely a size. I'm not sure two people could hug it together. Wow. Maybe two people, definitely not one person. It is a big old tree.
That's a big tree.
Yeah.
But now it's not. Now it's a bunch of logs.
Gotcha.
And I found out, I didn't know this growing up, but our house was electric heating. So when the power went out, they were screwed. And I mean, it's not like cold like it is here, but it was below freezing for a bunch of time. And I was like, crap, how'd they do it? But I did forget they also have a damn fireplace. So they just did a lot of fires too. So
my friend in Houston has a coworker and friend who's from Iowa, and his pipes burst down there. And I said to her, I said, I'll bet he never thought, I mean, he knew all about pipes bursting up here, but I'll bet he never thought when he moved to Texas, he'd never have to deal with that again. But nope, yeah. there it happened. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And still bad for some of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the time for it. We got that derecho last summer, and now this crap is happening.
Yeah, thankfully we didn't have any issues here, and my friend didn't have any issues at her house specifically, which was good to know. But I mean, she knew a lot of people who did have some serious issues down there.
Yeah, I got a former coworker who still is a little bit stuck. They're trying to figure out the best way to not make the pipes freeze and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Next week, almost every day of the week, we get above freezing. I'm so excited for that.
I mean, we'll even be probably getting some melt on Monday, probably.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there's so much, like you pointed out a couple weeks ago, where there's no place to put any more snow. So, I mean,
we got some melt today. I had to go outside to grab the trash cans, and there's some melt on the edges of things.
Oh, okay.
It's doing those weird bits on the street where it like melts under, so there's a little shelf, and that shelf has all those little needles of dirty ice because it melts irregularly.
Yeah.
So it's starting, which I need to get to a point where I can just go outside and take a walk, and it is neither too cold nor too dangerous for me. I really need that. So
well, the equinox is just a few weeks away, so I'm sure
it's this part of the country, it could be any. I mean, there have been blizzards on record in June.
I know, but
we got married on my first, but March is less likely to be cold and snowy than February, and we're almost in. Okay, we're not almost in March, but we're a couple weeks from March, and April's even less likely. So like the passage of time just helps the odds. All right.
We'll get there, buddy.
Yeah. We should call this and then do it again next week, I suppose.
Yep.
All right. So in the meantime, everybody stay warm and safe, and don't listen to other podcasts, only ours, because we can't suffer the comparison.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.